time for our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman. Elliot, just last week you said on the show you're not allowed to make fun of it anymore, so Boomer is now just poking the Bears, seeing if you're going to hold to that by not being in today. How are you?
I just have to ask, like, where is he?
Well, you see, when you have a Monday off for Thanksgiving, you got to take Friday off too, because Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is aggressive, you know?
Seriously, like, where is he?
He's in Edmonton at his daughter's ringette tournament.
You know, I find it hard to make fun of somebody who is trying to be a good dad, but why start now, I guess?
Make an exception for this one.
we'll start with the Flames here. Last night, a bit of an incident toward the end of the game with the Red Wings. Lindholm takes a shot at Darren Helm's head. He retaliates with a slash to the back of the leg. Have you heard anything that there could be any discipline coming from that incident post game?
I was waiting to hear if the injury, what the injury updates all were. You know, Helm has a history of concussions. That's the first thing I did when I saw what happened, when I saw the overhead view. I knew he had at least one, and it looks like he's had more than that. I think if anything, let's see how seriously Lindholm is hurt, and then we'll go from there. Because if he's seriously hurt, I can understand Helm being upset, but I don't know if that's a reason to cause a legitimate injury.
Sounds like there was some optimism in the bowels of the Dome last night that Lindholm is fine. So there's that for you.
Then I would suspect you might get a fine. I don't know in that situation if you'd get a suspension if he was fine. But you know, usually for things like that, you have to look up history. Like they kind of have really set. They have really set factors on what gets guys suspended. Have we seen many suspensions for slashes or things like that? Not in a while. So I think it would take something really big for that to occur.
Yesterday and the last couple weeks, we've chatted with Brian Burke, and anytime we bring up any team, he tells us to wait 10 games in a road trip. Wait 10 games in a road trip before any type of panic. But what the New Jersey Devils do, moving an assistant GM to behind the bench and now talks of concern around Taylor Hall, it feels like while we're not allowed to panic with Brian Burke, it kind of feels like New Jersey's starting to panic a little bit. What is the panic level out in New Jersey right now?
Well, obviously, it's a little bit less this morning because they won last night. I think the thing that last night was big for them was, you know, Subban had been struggling. He played really well. Gusev scored. He'd been sent down to the fourth line. Hughes got his first point. I mean, his struggles have been well documented. So it's not only that they won, it's just that some guys who've got to be big parts for them got going. And that was huge for them. I think it was, I don't know if I would say it was full-blown panic, but I think there was definitely worry. I mean, how often do you see either a general manager or somebody from the front office put down on the bench? Bob Murray did it last year. Lou Lamoriello did it a couple of times. But generally, that doesn't happen, and it was there to give them a jolt. When you're putting a member of the front office on the bench, you're telling the players that we're taking a close eye on who's the problem here and who isn't. And I think those players got the message. They'll need to do it more often. I think the most interesting thing is it looks like Blackwood might be the number one goalie there right now. So I think that's one of the more interesting storylines there. But there's no question, this is a huge year for them, and the whole Hall thing is a big decision for them too.
With the Hall situation kind of hanging overhead, is there, and obviously we're still early in the season, understanding that though, is there a drop-dead date or anything? We need to be X amount of points out of a playoff spot by date Y for us to really give this thing a run and start considering a Hall trade. Is there any kind of pressure point like that yet?
I don't know. I think it's too soon for that, but I think even more important than that is an honest answer as to whether or not internally you believe that Hall's going to re-sign. Look, I think if they're a consistent playoff team, he could definitely re-sign there. I don't think there's – I mean, he loved being in the playoffs a couple of years ago. It meant the world to him. He's only made it once in his career. I think that's a big deal to him, is being in a situation where he can feel he gets a chance to be in the playoffs a lot because he hasn't been there very much. So if the Devils aren't looking like a playoff team, I think it's going to be very difficult. But I think also, and you know, Mike, you played, you know these situations. I think such teams at times have to be honest with themselves about, do we really believe a player wants to stay here? And you know, only the Devils know that as well as anyone else. They've negotiated with him. He's been there. This is his fourth year there. They know Taylor Hall, and if they really believe they can keep him, then you go full out to keep him. But if they're looking at this and saying, wait, he's hesitating to commit, we can't pin him down on a number, that it's like dating, right? Like, you know, if somebody's going to say yes, we're going to go out, or, you know, I got to wash my hair that night. So you kind of have to figure it out and be honest with yourself about what you think the player wants.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there. I think the key word you said there is be honest about it. Don't be going on like a pipe dream. If you get the, I have no idea. I don't really know Taylor Hall, so I don't know what he's thinking or anything like that. But yeah, New Jersey would know, and yeah, you got to be honest. And if it's even questionable, like you said, I think it's you find another avenue for him.
I'm with you 100%. You deep down, you always know. You always know.
Your 31 thoughts last week, Elliot. I know it's been talked about a lot, but kind of quiet now because the search appears to be on pause. But what's your read on the president of hockey ops job in Ottawa?
Well, they had a number of guys they went after last year, and they aimed high. You know, they contacted Steve Yzerman. They contacted Ron Hextall, Ron Francis, Dean Lombardi, and I think it was Trevor Lennon was the other guy. And they passed. And then they hired a consultant. I think Brian Burke was actually the first guy to report it, that they hired a consultant or someone they were using for someone from another team to help them look for names. And I think that person was Glenn Sather. No confirmation, but I believe that's who it was. And, you know, he submitted some names, and I don't think they were, you know, interested in going down the road with some of the people that were presented to them. So, you know, I looked into it this past week, and I was told officially it was off, at least until the end of the season. So we'll see how their year goes, and if they decide to go in a particular way, or they decide to say, okay, we're going to try this again. You know, Ottawa, on the ice, I think we know what this year is going to be. It's going to be a tough year for them. I watched them last night in Vegas. You know, Nielsen was unbelievable, but I thought as a team they played pretty hard. I think they're going in the right direction with terms of some of the young players they've got and what they're looking at, but it's a climb. And it'll be interesting to see at the end of the year if they feel the need to go back down that route, or they just say, you know what, we're going to bolster what we've got and keep going this way.
A lot of talk about Dustin Byfuglien and his absence and whether or not he's going to come back. But the other one that maybe is going quietly is the former captain of the Carolina Hurricanes. What's the read right now on Justin Williams, and what's the confidence level inside that room about him coming back this year?
There seems to be, like, I'd hesitate to say, you know, I know one way or the other. What I do sense is that there is a confidence that they believe he's considering it. And again, it might not be soon. Like, this might be something that happens, you know, maybe around, I don't know, might not even be till something like Christmas, New Year's, but it could happen. I just get the sense that they're refusing to rule it out and that they think it's still a possibility. And until they're told otherwise, they're going to assume it's a possibility. So I think there's a quiet optimism there, but I wouldn't want to make any declarations aside from the fact that I don't think it's something that's imminent. I think it's something that probably comes a little bit later on.
Chatting with our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Another loss for the Minnesota Wild yesterday. Just 17 shots against Montreal in a 4-0 loss. They're now 1-6 to start the year. I don't think anyone is envisioning a big turnaround from Minnesota.
Nope.
as far as players, I mean, obviously I think Minnesota would make almost everyone available, but who could be some players who are getting some attention from the Minnesota Wild on the trade front right now?
Well, from what I understand, like Bill Guerin has said that he's open to anything, but he's not really feeling the pressure to do something just for the hell of it. So I think, like put it this way, I don't think Matt Dumba's going anywhere. Right. But the other thing, too, is that you look at, first of all, they're older guys, those contracts are tough to handle. So, like, even if you wanted to trade one of the older guys, I'm not sure how much of a market there is for them. As you guys know, they almost traded Zucker. Now he has some control over it. He's got a 10-team no trade. So, you know, he has a better handle on what he can and can't do. I think there would always be interest in a guy like that because he can score. And, you know, the thing is that in this league, the hardest thing to do is score, and he's got an ability to do it. So, depending on his control, I always think there will be interest in him. The one I'm really curious about is even a guy like Dubnyk. You know, he's really struggled this year. He hasn't looked like himself, but we know he's a difference maker. So I would be curious about a guy like him. The kids, too, like, do you really want to trade a Greenway? Like, how many guys on that team that would seriously be available do you think there would be a lot of interest in?
Well, yeah. Probably not long of a list, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the problem. Like, you look at that group, and, you know, one of their biggest problems is speed. You know, this is a fast game now, and they don't have a lot of it. They're an older roster. Like, look, if you were to make Matt Dumba available, people would, you know, beat up their grandmothers to get him. But I just can't I can't see them doing it. So, like, to me, it's you're a bit stuck there in the sense that the guys who people would really want, they're going to keep. I mean, the one guy to me, there's a lot of teams in the league that kind of like Zucker, but again, he has some control over it. He's kind of been in the middle of it already. I don't know. I mean, they need goal scoring too. And I'm not so sure they'd be willing to give that up. The other thing, too, is Guerin was in Pittsburgh when they tried to get him, right? So he probably likes him. I don't think it's an easy fix, put it that way. I don't think it's an easy fix.
And with the understanding that this is a flawed roster, does Bruce Boudreau take the fall for this at some point, though?
You know, I think there's only two reasons why I think that they would do that. Number one is it jolts your team. You know, that does happen. It takes away an excuse. It puts even more heat on the players. Sometimes, I mean, I was talking about this with someone yesterday. Sometimes it's happened just to jolt the team. And look, like, if Bruce Boudreau gets fired, I don't think anyone's going to blame him for this. I think everyone's going to see. Yeah. And the other thing I do wonder about is, you know, Boudreau's history is to come in and make, and the team gets better quick. Happened in Washington, happened in Anaheim, and he certainly put a jolt into Minnesota. He's in the last year of his deal. I wonder if, you know, it could happen just to put him out there and maybe give him a chance to get a contract somewhere else. I have wondered about that, if it would almost be like a mercy move kind of thing, or a, you know what, here's a chance for you to get your next contract kind of thing. That idea has crossed my mind, put it that way.
Talk about panic in New Jersey off the top of this hit, Elliot. 1-6-1 for the Dallas Stars. They're in Pittsburgh tonight. They were a team that I know many had kind of, quote-unquote, won the offseason for a lot of people. They're still looking for a goal from Joe Pavelski. Their goaltending hasn't been great, and I'm hearing Jim Montgomery's name amongst those on the hot seat in just his second year, 8 games in. What's your feel on the Dallas Stars right now, 8 games in?
Well, some idiots I know won the Stanley Cup, like the guy who
I heard it may or may not have been you.
Yes, I was one of those guys. That pick is looking like pure genius right now, eh?
Although CJ did say yesterday on the afternoon show, Chris Johnston was sticking up for you. He said, don't forget the Blues were dead last in December. So,
well, I appreciate Chris for doing that. That's very nice of him. We'll have to buy him a drink this weekend. You know, like, the thing is, too, is that the problems that they have, like, I thought Pavelski and Perry would solve some of the problems they had. They really haven't. You know, they have all sorts of trouble just getting the puck in the net. And, you know, I don't know if, I mean, again, if you're changing the coach here, you're doing it for the jolt. I read all of Jim Neal's quotes this morning. He says, it's got to come from within. It's, you know, we're not looking at making changes. And I think those are all the right answers. But, you know, the pressure internally in there has got to be off the charts, because this is a team that did so well in terms of what we thought they needed to do. The expectations, as you said, were so high. They already canceled a practice this week, the day before the Columbus game. Like, to me, that's one of those things you do when you're desperately trying to find a way to change the tone around your group. You know, I mean, they do have a lot of D. You know, if anybody could make a deal D for offense, I think they could do it if they wanted to. I'm at a loss. I watched them against Columbus the other night as much as I could, and they grind their way like they always do. The one thing about Dallas is, guys, like, I think that might be more of a team built for the playoffs than the regular season, because the regular season is a much more free game, and the playoffs are such a grind. The problem is you got to get there. And they've already put themselves in a hole. If this continues there, I think anything is potentially possible, because there's so much pressure on them to win this year.
Transitioning a little bit into Leafland, where I love to go. Tavares gets hurt, breaks his finger. Any word on, like, what finger that is, or what hand at least? Because that would probably have something to do with how long he's out.
It looks like it's going to be 2 weeks. It's the one, you know what, I didn't see the replay, Mike, but if you look, he takes a shot off one of his hands from Morgan Rielly late in the game the other night. So it's that one. You know, they say 2 weeks. I think the bigger question is how they're going to sort this out. I mean, we all know they're right at the cap. They don't have a lot of freedom to do things. So your choices are you put Nylander in the middle, you move Kerfoot up, you give Spezza another shot. You make Gauthier a center again, maybe somewhere. I mean, to me, the biggest question is going to be how are they going to survive without him for 2 weeks? You know, one man's injury, as you know, is another man's opportunity. But I didn't check the replay. He does get hit with a shot late in that game, right before he scores, and that's where the injury is.
Okay. Final one for you, Elliot, and then we'll let you go. You get a nice, exciting late game tomorrow as you get Doughty Tkachuk round two in L.A.
What did Calgary do to piss off people to get this schedule, eh? You go to California, you get home for 4 days, and you got to go back? Like, what is that? I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
You know what? They'll take that over last year where they had to go back home for like two games and go out east three times in a row.
Yeah, seriously, like, somebody there really did something to annoy the schedule maker. I remember those games last year. It was crazy town. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, you know, we need more of this. It's a show. It's entertainment as much as it is a business and fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great game. And, you know, the Flames are, you know, even in some of their losses, like, you throw out the Vegas loss, that was just atrocious. But I thought in San Jose they played pretty well. You know, I think they're starting to find a little bit of a rhythm, and more often than not. But LA is a team you got to beat. Like, I watched them against Carolina. They got grinded down. I watched a bit of the one last night. You could see their frustration. That's a team you got to pounce on. You cannot give them life like you did when they played here in Calgary, because they are really struggling right now, and that's a game you got to have.
Awesome stuff as always, Elliot. I'd say next week you'd be chatting with Boomer, but we all know that's no guarantee. But someone will be here talking with you next week.
It's questionable, as they'd say on the NFL injury report.
Day to day with just being Boomer. Awesome stuff, man. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Take care.